Hey guys, the following podcast is a Lady Gang Network and Podcast One production, which means it's going to be awesome.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to Showmance.
Make sure you go to the episode description and check out all our sponsorship deals.
Our sponsors are the reason Showmance is completely free to download.
And they can hook you up with great deals on stuff you love, stuff you need, and cool gifts for your friends and family.
Leaks.
I'm Kevin McHale.
And I'm Jenna Ushkowitz.
We became best friends on the set of Glee.
And now we're doing the Glee recap podcast you have been waiting for.
How romantic.
Each week we'll take you behind the scenes.
Spill all the Glee tea.
And break down episodes from season one with former cast, crew, producers, and writers that brought the show to life.
This is Showmance, Glee recap edition.
I think everyone needs a little more tardy in their lives.
To Showmance Glee Tour Edition. I'm Jen Oshkowitz.
Oh, sorry, I burped. I'm Kevin McHale.
Oh, hi, Kevin.
Hi, Jenna. I'm really excited about this episode because, I mean, it could be 8 hours long. But
I mean, it was.
talking last week about Tour 1 just got my brain a-moving about Tour 2.
Kevin, you are the tour guru. You remember everything from this tour, I believe.
Well, I'm sorry that, yeah, I apologize.
No, you'll jog my memory because I don't remember a goddamn thing from it. So,
I mean, it was one of my favorite times ever. So that's why.
Well, so we had them back. Telly and Megs are back to talk more tour. We traveled the world. This is tour, Glee Tour on crack.
Yeah, basically. It's bigger, better, and badder.
And funner.
And raunchier and messier and...
That's right.
Drunker.
Even though we tried to kind of... Because we were singing more songs and the show was longer, like we tried to not drink as much because we were like, oh, we have to like make it through a longer stint on this tour. Yeah. But that only lasted so long.
Yeah.
Before we start the episode, we have our spotlighters and Glick of the Week. I'm doing this Dory singing thing right now. I don't know. I'm feeling very feisty. Right, Bear? Okay. Spotlight Series. Kevin, you chose this one.
I did. Spotlight Series this week is the Fair Fight Action. You can follow them on social media. It was partly co-founded by Stacey Abrams, who probably, if you follow politics, you know she lost the gubernatorial race in 2018 in Georgia. But she is brilliant. She's super smart. She's in the running to be the VP choice for Joe Biden this time around. And she started the Fair Fight Action to combat voter suppression, which if you're following any of the primaries going on and elections going on right now, Georgia was a mess a couple weeks ago. And you can see voter suppression happening in real time. And so it's timely. It's extremely, extremely important. I know it doesn't sound sexy to say like voter suppression, but this type of action and coalition can change the outcome of elections, president down to the local level. So go follow it, see how you can get involved, and or at least just educate yourself. So if you see some suppression going on, you can call it out and talk to the right people.
And you can text FAIR, F-A-I-R, to 70700 to join the fight.
Yes.
Before we get into the episode, Gleek of the Week.
Who we got?
Gleek of the Week!
Hey, Jenna. Hey, Kevin. My name is Kate, and I'm a little late to the Showmance game, but I'm definitely not late to the Glee game. I watch Glee a minimum of 3 times a year, and recently I have been through everything. I have changed jobs. I have been in new. I have been in old relationships. I've dealt with family drama. I've dealt with absolutely everything. But the one thing that I can always guarantee is there is Glee. And the cool thing about Glee is, one, I'm from Ohio, and two, I'm at that point where I can tell you what episode what song is in. I can tell you what episode I'm going to cry in, what episode I'm going to laugh in. And the best of all, I can even tell you what episode is going to make me mad. And the best thing about Glee, I can go through every emotion, and it's almost like healthy. Like, it helps me get through everything. I just wanted to let you guys know that Showmance has kind of changed my life recently. It's made me found a newfound love for Glee. But most importantly, you know, it's made me realize that it's okay to be me and it's okay to go through what I'm going through. So thank you guys so much for what you do. And I honestly hope to God that you guys keep doing this through season two. So thanks. I love you. And see you guys soon. Bye.
Kate, you are not late to the party.
Absolutely
not. you are
right on time.
You know what? Being a little late is being on time.
Yeah, it's true. We live in LA.
And you can definitely remember the show better than we can. So you've got us beat there. But thanks so much for your support. And thanks so much for watching, rewatching, now watching and listening to Showmance. And we're so glad that Glee has helped you like so many others.
Yes.
So,
thanks for sharing your story.
Kate, you are Glee of the Week. All right, let's get into it, right?
Yes.
Glee.
Welcome, everybody.
Welcome.
Tour two is a whole different beast. So what happened was, went on tour one, it worked. So next summer, guess what we're going to do? Bigger and better, longer. And we were all sort of like, oh, sweet. How are we going to do this? So here's how it happened. Zach Woodley, our choreographer, he finished choreographing the end of the season, and he went to Vegas, where our first tour stop was. And he set up the entire hour and a half arena show with dancers playing each of our parts. And so,
well, here's the problem. We were scheduled, right, to finish production earlier, but as we do,
yeah, so that's the tale as old as time on Glee. It's like, yeah, oh wait, you're telling me the rap date's gonna get pushed back by 3 weeks, 6 weeks, a whole entire three months? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so
you mean I have to change my plans because we didn't stick to the schedule?
So we're finishing the season. We get 3 days off after working for a while. And then we go to Vegas, where Zach and the dancers have already been there. All the stage crew, everybody's setting up the tour. The stage is up in the arena at Mandalay Bay. And we are assigned. Zach is like, here's the thing. Each of your dancers are playing you, and they have your entire track memorized. So for the next...
In the industry, they call this a skeleton crew.
Yes. And so for the first half of the day, go sit with them. And my partner in that was Kyle, and he made an entire spiral notebook.
I got a marble notebook.
Of everything that happens, and he had pages tabbed and marked so I could easily find... Like, it was so beautiful and OCD, and I was very thankful for it. Mm-hmm. But it was brilliant because we had no time to set up a tour. And theoretically, you would get weeks to do this. Like, if you listen to the last podcast, we went to Center Staging. We were there for a week. And then we were in Phoenix for a week before anybody saw anything. This, we had 3 days before we had our first audience.
Soft opening, if
soft
you will.
Yes.
But like, if anyone can pull that off, it's Zach Woodley.
Totally. Yeah.
Like, he made it work.
And it's a testament to our fabulous dancers, who a lot of them had been on the show multiple times. We were lucky enough to have, like, sort of a really large pool of dancers that came in and out of the show. And what was exciting about this tour was we had 10 dancers plus 5 warblers that were like with us. So it's like we had this like huge crew. So now it wasn't just the 12 of us anymore. It was like there were like 14 casts and then 5 warblers and 10 dancers and a whole band. So it was like we had so many people. But all these dancers not only had to learn each of y'all's tracks and write them down, but then they had to learn their own to be their, you know, because they were also backup dancers.
And so, luckily, I mean, we were doing numbers that we had done before, but we hadn't done some of these either since the first tour or since we filmed them one time, one day during season one. Mm-hmm. And so, and some of the dancers had actually been in the real numbers as well. So there was a little of that familiarity with what we were doing, but like you had to, how do we get Darren into this show? We're like, right. He didn't do all these big group numbers. He's only been doing warbler stuff. And so then like he had to learn from scratch certain things.
Also, and, Ashley Fink, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. And yeah. As Megs was alluding to, we were in this hotel in Vegas and did not see the light of day. It wasn't like, we're going to Vegas!
No.
Mm-mm, not at all. No, never.
No. I had friends there, and I would wake up, and if I had time, I'd go grab breakfast with them, and then like live vicariously through. Like, also, hold on. Before this sounds like a complaint, this was my dream life. To like sit in an empty arena and set up a show was like pure dream. I'm like, you guys go gamble and have your fun. This is like absolutely, if I could pick a career, anything I could do in my life, this is it.
In my memory, we were in Vegas for 2 weeks.
We were.
It was like one. It was like one.
No, it was like one. We did the rehearsals, then we did like a couple of previews.
The dancers were there 2 weeks. That's what
yeah,
it was.
Yeah, but it felt like 2 weeks for us because
you don't see the sun for, you know, 5 days straight.
No. And then there's a group of us that, like, if you go outside with all 10, 12 of us, we get mobbed. It's just what it is. Like, you know, I could go outside and not get mobbed. Like, but like
the shapes of your bodies next to each other would like trigger people. They'd be like, oh my God, it's the Glee Cat.
So we had to get a van. We had to get a van, a Sprinter van, to take us outside to go across the strip, across the street, literally. We could see it from outside to go to Subway to get our sandwiches to get back in the
yeah. We also like sneak out at night to go to Subway. I passed it a couple weeks ago, right before I was in Vegas, like a couple weeks before lockdown. And I was like, that's the Subway.
The Subway.
The yep. Subway. The one that, to rule them all.
Do you experience stress or have anxiety or chronic pain or have trouble sleeping at least once a week? You're not alone. Many of us do. I'm speaking from personal experience. With all the crazy things going on in the world, it is harder than ever to sleep. So I was searching for anything that would help. Then I discovered Feels. And what is Feels, you ask? Jenna, take it away.
Oh, Feels is a premium CBD delivered directly to your doorstep. Feels naturally helps reduce stress, anxiety, pain, and sleeplessness. And I love that one measurement for somebody isn't the measurement for all.
Become a member today by going to feels.com/showmance and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/showmance to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. They have like a nice little graph that shows you if you take a certain measurement, what you can experience, and if you take a little more, what that will be and how it might change for you. It's great. It's so easy to take. You place a few drops of Feels under your tongue and feel the difference within minutes. The thing to remember about CBD is that finding your right dose is important, and everyone's dose is different, like Jenna said. So leave room to experiment over the course of a week or so. You may need to take more or less to get the effects you're after.
Yes, and even better, if you're new to CBD, Feels offers a free CBD hotline to help guide your personal experience. So you're talking to real live people.
Feels has me feeling my best every day, and it can help you too. So become a member today by going to feels.com/showmance, and you'll get 50% off your first order with free shipping. That's feals.com/showmance to become a member and get 50% automatically taken off your first order with free shipping. Feals.com/showmance.
Hey guys, it's Kelty Knight from the Lady Gang podcast. If you're into getting a very sassy, sexual, beautiful, inspiring, funny, oftentimes embarrassing, slightly anal podcast in your repertoire, subscribe to us, Lady Gang, on Podcast One, the Podcast One app. And please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
I would like to talk about what the ladies did for me.
Oh, this is fun.
So,
the ladies.
So what happened was I really wanted to do safety dance, and all the girls.
Oh, I remember. I was
all the girls.
It wasn't
were
in
like,
the original set list.
No, the set list.
Also, before you say that, Kevin, like you, when you said like usually when you do a show, you like have the process, right? It's like, and this didn't really have a process, and part of that process is like figuring out what works and what doesn't. So it's like, even though you guys came in and dropped into these tracks that had been like already determined, like the show changed in that week a lot.
That's true.
Because things were not working, things were working. It's like once everything was up on its feet. So there was, I remember this too, there was a debate about what the encores should be, et cetera.
So Ryan came in and there was at one point, like the girls and I were sort of talking about like, it would be really cool if I could do safety dance, but it was really important to Ryan to not break the illusion of the characters. Like at some point he even talked about building an elevator for me in the wheelchair when I left the stage to get in the lift and then go down to do my quick change. And it's like, well, I won't ever make a quick change if, you know, we're doing about 80 songs. And so that's really not like, I think people know what's up. Like it's fine. And so luckily like that got given the boot, but he was really, he didn't want me up. He did not want me dancing. And I get it. I get why, but he came in one day to our, the green room. We're all sitting in there because, like Telly said, the show was pretty much set for the most part. Some things didn't work and we moved our, but the encore was totally open. And Ryan said, we knew Somebody to Love had to be in it, but the rest of it was sort of like, let's freeform rock out. Let's put it to a vote. And by this point, the girls already had like planned a coup. And I was trying not to get excited because it had come up before and Ryan had shot it down very quickly.
Right.
And I also didn't know, I was like, you know, Ryan's intimidating and maybe the girls are talking a good talk and like, they're not going to actually do it. But let me tell you, you guys bulldozed. He's like, everyone was just like, yeah, I think we should do safety dance. All the girls did it. And the guys were like, yeah, I think it would be really cool if we could do safety dance. And Ryan was like, well, and everyone's like, no, he has to do it. We really need to do it. He's like, okay, well, if we're going to do that, like what else? And it basically turned into like my encore. It was like, we're doing Empire State of Mind. So like, yeah. I go out and do that. We do Loser Like Me, Somebody to Love. I have to kill time so then Chris and the girls can do Single Ladies.
Well, let's paint that picture too. So in the encore.
Yes.
In the encore, I think I had 16 layers on during this show because I had to rip one outfit off to make it for the next outfit. So I had two pairs of tights. I had one leotard. I had one like t-shirt and jeans. And then like I would have to switch out and like put something else on. So for Single Ladies, I wore that leotard for like half the show underneath my outfit.
Yeah, you in the second act of the Glee Live show
it's a lot.
When Joey puts on all of Chandler's clothes, you just like had like a full, it's like you would walk kind of like at the beginning of it, you like waddled a bit. You're like, what's going on with Jenna? Why does she,
look
bigger than usual?
So then I'd have to strip. So then we would do Empire State of Mind, Loser Like Me, right? Then we would go back and I would change. And I would have to get out of that and into Single Ladies. And then me and Chris and Todd, our head security guard, and Heather, and all the other ladies who were doing Single Ladies with like Bo and everybody, we had to run from one side of the stadium to the whole other side. And so security would be like doing a blockade and like fans would be like going to the bathroom. We'd be like just running in our like
unit. Wait, did you run like out in the like the open
course?
Some stadiums had like underneath, and most stadiums, there's only one way to get to the other
side. I had no idea.
So we would have to jog to get there. And that's why you were killing time.
Well, because I would just get a note when we got to the new location. I would get a note from somebody. Maybe it was like Riccio or something to be like, okay, it's more complicated to get them out there. So you need to kill like an extra 30 seconds. And then I'd be like, oh, shit. Then I would like go talk to the band and be like, okay, I'm going to throw it to you and we're going to have some banter. Like, yeah. I have to do something.
But then, after Single Ladies, we had to go back because we had the rest of the encore. So we stayed
and then
Somebody
to
Love.
Jeans.
And I had to put on jeans. So I'd have to run back, rip off the leotard, put the jeans on, sweating, like getting the jeans on. And in one instance, I had to pee really, really bad. And I was singing True Colors live. And so there was a really big problem because you can't sing if you have to pee. Like, you can't breathe. I couldn't breathe. And I was like, I have to pee really, really bad. And the problem with stadiums is the bathrooms are not, like, accessible.
Nothing's
close by. No. And they built these little dressing rooms underneath the stage. So anyway, I'm getting Justin, and Lizzie, our dresser, who is doing all these quick changes, was like, you could pee in a bucket. And I was like, what? And she's like, no, Jenna, you could pee in a bucket. I have a bucket right here. You can totally pee in it. And I was like, Lizzie, that's wild. That's really crazy. And I'm like, but I can't sing. I won't make it through Somebody to Love. Like, I won't make it through three numbers. So she looks at me. She goes, Beyonce does it. And I was like, wait. So she kicked everybody out of the quick change as they're all waiting for the boys to be done. So we're waiting to go back on. I pulled my pants down and I peed in a bucket.
Yes.
And then she went and dumped it outside.
Of course.
Didn't that become kind of a regular, like, once you broke the seal of doing that, like, I swear there was somebody else who had a UTI and then they were always peeing. in a bucket.
Yeah. 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 I feel like
it's incredible. Well, that's like true professionalism on both ends, you know, not yeah. just you yeah. for doing
Lizzie.
But for Lizzie for being like, babe, do it. We got this.
Beyonce does it. Get Beyonce out there.
If you want to get anybody to do anything, yeah, just Beyonce does it. I mean, this right. also speaks to how much harder, I mean, this is like a life thing, but like the ladies worked so much harder than the guys where, so the quick changes underneath the stage, there is a male one and a female one. And you go into the ladies one and they are sweating. They have 18 layers on. They're changing. They're working. You go into the guys. It was Cord, Harry, Mark, Corey. Literally, they had dumbbells and were doing yeah. sit-ups and push-ups. And Chris and I were in there like, what is going on? It was night and day. Like, there was so much. I'm like, how is everybody just sitting around? So that's why I would go into the ladies one, and like you guys would be, like be putting on strip shows and stuff. Like it was yeah. great.
Yeah. Didn't the boys get in their proper dressing room, not the quick change booths, a video game console? And
we we had Xbox.
Let me speak to this. there was a time when all of the equipment was in one room, in the one teacher's lounge. Teacher's lounge is what they called the green room.
That's right.
And then there was let's just say there was an altercation and there were some people that didn't want to be having the video game. Well, also it was like the video games were always happening. And then it was like, people were tripping over cords. And then it was like, can't you boys just put this in your room? And then it was like, actually we'd like it better that way. And it was like, great.
That's right. That's yeah. right.
It made a lot more sense because the boys room was like really peaceful.
I'll never forget. Cause we did actually put it to a vote. Because I remember this got brought up verbally, and then we're like, no, let's actually vote. And I got to tally the votes, and I felt like I was on, like, an episode of Survivor or something. It was so much fun.
And then I was like,
turning shit over, like, that's 4 for Safety Dance.
Yes. And it, like, everybody voted for Safety. I was like,
yes. It was a landslide.
Yeah, I was.
And it was like one of the most fun numbers to do in the entire tour.
And then I remember, so I had a couple of friends who were in Vegas to watch the show, and I didn't tell them. And they came, and Safety Dance is obviously like at the very end. And my one friend like had left to go get a drink or something, and came back. And I was like halfway through Safety Dance, and they were texting me afterwards, like losing their mind, like, why didn't you tell me? I wouldn't have run to go get like a drink. And then like I saw on Twitter, it was like in the top 10 trending in the world, and I was like, this is crazy.
Wow,
like, I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
But the other thing about, so after Vegas, then we did like sort of all the West Coast, and
well, that's right.
Thomas the Stanko, El Stanko, Thomas the Stank Engine plane. So flying into Vegas, I sat next to Naya, who's not like a great flyer.
Not at all. Not at all.
If I'm
overall as a group, not a bunch of great flyers.
Totally.
No.
And,
like, I'm a pretty good flyer. And I like to look out at the view. You're flying into Vegas is always really rough because it's super windy. And she dug her claws into my forearm. She shut the window shade. So then you can't see what's going on outside. The plane is rattling. And we got there and half the people were like, I'm not getting back on that plane. But after Vegas, it was San Francisco. And if you thought Vegas was hard flying into, San Francisco was 10 times worse. So much so that half the people didn't get back on the plane to leave. They got on a different plane and met us in Minneapolis. It was after we got back to LA. And they wouldn't.
Because we went back to LA and then some of us flew to Minneapolis. Yeah. No, that LA landing was, or sorry, the San Francisco landing was.
We landed sideways almost.
I'm like a very tolerant flyer, and that for me was even like, this is next level. Like,
I didn't get I wasn't on that flight.
No,
that's when everybody had like their prayer beads out and they were pulling like photos of their families out of their wallets.
No, Harry took a video of it. I watched it recently.
No.
It's like a 2-minute long video of us landing in this plane, and not all of us were there, but Harry's like giggling and sitting behind me, and we're kind of both giggling because everyone is like head down, head in hands, like rocking back and forth. Like Cord looks like he's about to throw up. Mark's pulled out a picture of his family. Like there's this, like Corey looks like he's having fun, but you can see in his eye, he's like, there's just pure terror. Ashley Fink is like, is literally like, oh God, no, not today. It's just like everyone is losing it. I was so happy to see that was caught on camera because it was.
We used to joke like Page Six, like the Glee cast has gone down. Why wouldn't they put it on two separate planes?
I remember
they were like the president and the vice president. Don't fly us together.
When we got on the plane, they would always do like the announcements, and the pilot was like, it is literally as windy as it could possibly be.
That's what he said. Exactly. That was verbatim what he said. And we were like, what does that mean?
Wheels up, bitches.
It's as windy as it could possibly be. Are we going to die?
Yeah. Oh, I got a ride home from Vegas early.
Yeah.
I peaced out.
Yeah. When we were on the West Coast, if people could avoid taking the plane, avoided it.
Yeah.
But then that was nice because then when we flew back to Minneapolis and so many people decided to fly commercial because they didn't want to fly. Because we also, it was the longest flight that we were going to take on the whole journey on the private plane. So we, only a few people went and we had to like refuel. Remember that? We had to refuel and we were refueled in like Idaho or something beautiful. Yes. And it was like, we got out and it was just like, we all stood on the tarmac. And just, it was, anyway, but that flight was great because it was like, capacity, everybody got their own row.
Yeah, but also it was that, but like four or five of the other people were on a private plane, like a legit private plane that looked like the nicest thing I had ever seen. And I saw photos, I'm like, how did they get that?
I didn't
like
a Fox take plane? That. I didn't take front. Either yeah. flight. I didn't get either one of those.
Yeah. Jenna drove.
Support for today's episode comes from Progressive Insurance. Fun fact, Progressive customers qualify for an average of 6 discounts when they sign up for Progressive Auto Insurance. Discounts for things like enrolling in automatic payments, insuring more than one car, going paperless, and of course, being a safe driver. Plus, customers who bundle their auto with home or add renter's insurance save an average of 12% on their auto.
There are so many ways to save when you switch, and once you're a customer with Progressive, you get unmatched claim service with 24/7 support online or by phone. It's no wonder why more than 20 million drivers trust Progressive and why they've recently climbed to the third largest auto insurer in the country. Get a quote online at progressive.com in as little as 5 minutes and see how much you could be saving.
Auto insurance from Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Home and renter's insurance not available in all states. Provided and serviced by affiliated and third-party insurers. Discounts vary and are not available in all states and situations.
Where are the cameras?
Run for the hills.
So much going on. It's just like a whirlwind.
It's the Spidey Podcast with Spencer and Heidi Pratt.
Heidi said we can't join the sex club. We can't join Scientology either.
Hey, how about some other clubs?
Oi, Illuminati, where are you? Shout out the U.S. government. Thanks for making the roads so nice.
Can we just get gay for 2 seconds?
I didn't know you turned it off.
Get new episodes every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It makes me so happy.
So we did Staples Center. We had four shows in a weekend, and that was really our first dose of like, what is a matinee in an arena going to be like? And it was just really hard. Like, I just remember we, you know, walking out into the empty arena at like 11 a.m. or something, and you're like, this is so cool. My family's coming. Like, this is going to be awesome. We sold out Staples Center four times.
So wild.
But I just remember at the end of the fourth show, I was just like, I just need to be in bed. I am so dead. I'm so tired.
I was so happy we got to go from home. Like, we got to drive up.
Yeah.
We got to actually, like, sleep in our own beds for, like, just a little longer.
Yeah.
Kevin, we were living together at that point, right?
Yeah. And I remember my nephew, he came back with me. Like, we each got cars.
Oh, right.
And he came back with me and like fell asleep because they hung out like all day. And like, I just remember him like falling asleep in the car on the way back. I'm like, it's exhausting, little guy.
Yeah.
I remember at the top of each show, Corey would always be like, what's up, you know, Los Angeles? What's up, Las Vegas? And he was just getting used to that. So in Los Angeles, in our first show, we get there and it's the, you know, doing Don't Stop. And he's like, what's up, Las Vegas? And we were like, no, Corey, we're in LA. We're home. So before every show, we would be like, Corey, what city are we in?
Yes.
Well, which was probably good because it did get very confusing.
It did, because I was always like, how can you forget what city? I mean, cut to like 2 weeks later, I was like, I don't know where we are.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're on the perspective of being on stage, looking out in an arena, you can't see anything. You're doing the same show in the same clothes with the same people, the same lighting. And so it's sort of like this weird vacuum of I could be anywhere at any time. I'm just doing the same repeated motions.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you're not seeing the light of day.
Yeah.
Because we're on stage all day. And it's...
Well, right. Because this one also, like, you get... Some days you got to go see the city if you could, if it wasn't too crazy. But this is also a Glee 3D movie.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. On top of everything, we also filmed a movie.
Sure did. That was maybe my worst day of tour.
we'll get there.
We'll get there.
So we got through the West Coast pretty quickly. We go to Minneapolis, which I think to that point, I remember that crowd being the most insane crowd we have ever had.
I mean, I think it was Indianapolis.
I agree. I think it was like back to back. We got to Minneapolis. We did Minneapolis and then we did Indianapolis. And it was just like, the Midwest is killing the game.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's because they're like not. It's like LA's tough because it's like when you're in LA, you're tough playing for a bunch of other performers and other industry
jaded.
People who are a little bit more judgmental or jaded. But oh yeah, we hit the Midwest and those people started going buck wild.
I mean, and that's when we started doing those fly in, fly outs,
right?
As well,
right.
Where I remember Cleveland on my birthday, which the crowd sucked, and and we flew in, we did the show, flew out. I think didn't we do that in Indianapolis as well?
And no, yes, we did it in Indianapolis, and we did it in Washington D.C.
Wow.
Oh, so that's right. I don't remember Washington D.C. The only show I don't remember.
The only thing I remember in Washington D.C., Kevin, is that you and me went. Out, you and I went out to the National Mall to
yes.
do a sightseeing, which I'd never done before. And we were out and we were at the Smithsonian Museum and we were in the like Arctic glacier exhibit or whatever. And this gaggle of like 12-year-old girls came up to us and they were so excited. They're like, oh my God, you're Artie from Glee. And they were like, yeah. They go, oh my God, so you know Cordova Street? And I was like, yes, we know Cordova Street. We're trying to learn ourselves something, please.
Yes, he is that hot.
Oh, my God. So that's really funny.
Just when you think you're going to get a little attention. So we did Minneapolis, Indianapolis, and then Chicago.
Chicago was great.
Loved Chicago.
Yep. Chicago was wild. Remember, is that the trip where, did we go out?
Yes.
Yeah. We went
we on a tour bus, and we were like, we're going out tonight.
We went with, yeah.
We went clubbing.
That's also when we got a police escort after the arena, and we got full like presidential police escort from the arena, which is like, what, 20, 30 minutes outside of downtown, which is where we were staying. Like on the freeway. It was very obnoxious, but very cool. And then we went out. Didn't we like go out with Jamie Foxx that night?
Jamie Foxx was at the club.
We went to the Underground, which was like the club in Chicago, and we had like security detail with us, and Jamie Foxx was rapping. He was performing.
He was DJing.
Right.
He was singing every song that came. Well, he wasn't actually DJing, but he would like call out, he's like, play this song, and the DJ would put it on, and he would sing it, and he'd be like, the cast of Glee is in the house. And I'm like, I have never felt cooler.
Yeah, oh my God, so much fun.
That was fun, because that was like the first... Like, let's all go out and blow off some steam.
Yes.
Because,
yeah, right. Like, everyone even came out. Because a lot of times people would, like, go in their own room, get their rest. But it was one of those times where we were like, no, let's all go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, like, rolling deep, out
Fun
with the
cities.
Gang.
Yeah.
We even went out with, who was the LXD was the opener.
Yeah.
The Legion of Extraordinary Dancers, the opener. And I remember they all came out, too.
Well, that was, like, around the point where we started to bond. Obviously, we all knew each other. But there's a lot of crew and dancers that we didn't spend as much time with beforehand. And like, we were just like getting messy, getting in everybody's business with all the, like the crew members as well. And like trying to figure out like who's single, who's taken, let's get this person with that person, like fully trying to like build our infiltrate little like world up backstage at these shows and just create as many problems as possible.
We but also really, like really the dancers, well the dancers were more fun than all of us combined.
Oh yeah.
You know? Like always. They knew how to go out and cut loose and then wake up the next day and do it all over again. Like they were pros.
Yeah.
Whereas like a lot of our cast members had to be like hooked up to IVs from exhaustion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is wild to tell Telly's point of this was only 6 weeks.
It was 6 weeks.
Oh yes, my gosh. Just to back up,
a note on the hotels. Some of the hotels were not as nice as others, but really we stayed in like the nicest hotel in the town we were in. Like whatever town it was, like we were in the nicest hotel. Yeah. It was really, really something special. Especially the Savoy in London, which was like such an old world dream for me. And then, you know, the hotel that should not be named in Soho in New York.
Yes. And I remember they had our names on the
oh my God. Well, the best thing about New York was like, that's when we actually got to like sit down for a minute and they gave us like a break. And we were there for a really long time because we had all the Jersey shows, the Connecticut shows, the New York shows, like all we stayed at the same hotel.
And that's when we filmed the movie.
We filmed the movie and it was the first time we had 2 days in a row off. So we ended up staying at those hotels in New York for like a week straight. And honey, when I am living in a hotel for a week, I'm unpacked in the first 5 minutes. So it's like by the end of a week, you can imagine how comfortable I am.
Every tour, a city we went to, like whatever was famous, whatever food was famous in that town, they would send for our after show snack, which is that's a second dinner. Like we're second dinners.
Oh yeah.
It is wild. I'd be like, oh, well I work so hard, I'll eat it. I come home from tour 20 pounds.
That's also a couple days before that. Oh, also, side note, Diana never made it to Toronto.
No, she never made it out of Toronto.
Out of Toronto.
Her passport.
She forgot her passport.
Into Toronto, but she never made it out of Toronto. So and she had to stay in Toronto.
And we went on to Detroit.
I'd have to say, though, the UK, the England and Ireland leg of the tour was by far my favorite.
It was pretty magical.
Yeah. There's, I think it was like part the act three, you know, that was the end, part the novelty of being in a new country. And then also, it's just like, what a cool. I mean, what a cool thing to be doing. Like, we stayed at the beautiful Savoy Hotel in London. And one day they were like, do you guys want to take a boat tour? Because we were performing at the O2 Arena, right?
Which is best. Like
this world-renowned, you know, venue. And they're
seven
like,
times, mind you.
Yeah. And they're like, do you want to take a boat tour? And we're like, what? Sure. We went down. The hotel had a private dock. We got on the private dock, got onto two boats, two speed boats. That sped us in the beautiful London afternoon down the Thames River all the way directly to the O2 Arena. It was like,
that was
a beyond a pinch me moment.
I love that.
That was like, what is going on here? Like, this is a true, true, like, treat.
But let's back up a couple days because that's when everybody.
Manchester.
That's when everybody made it and arrived is in a good mood. But when we got to Europe, we got through Manchester and we had some days off and it was fine. And then we took a bus to London and the bus ride was it was like the upside down. Like everybody had lost their minds. Like the groupings had changed. Everyone was having like weird conversations. People were acting strange. It was a weird time. And then we have our first show at the O2 the next day. And we didn't see the girls the entire day. So we get to the arena. It takes like over an hour in the car in the London traffic to like get to this arena. We have two shows that day. I don't see the girls. We hear the girls have lost it. And we're all like, like the guys are playing Xbox. And like we're all like, what's wrong with them? Like, what? They're like, yep, the girls are, like, we'd get reports, like, from Megs and from Telly, like, the girls are crying. They don't want to be here. And we're like, what has happened? And then, and like Jenna or Amber, like who, my go-tos, I'm like my rocks, like they're always steady, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, where are they? Like, I've never gone this long in 5 weeks without seeing Jenna. Like, where is she? They come out minutes before the show. And like, normally I do this chant thing before the show. Like, when I say something, you say whatever. Don't do it that day. It's like, nobody's in the mood. I read the room because I think I was about to. And one of the girls was like, don't even try. And I remember saying to one of the girls, like, what's going on? They're like, we're just tired. We miss our families. And we want to go home. I'm like, yeah, but this is our first of 7 sold out shows at the O2. And they're like, yeah, but I'm like, all right.
I know. Okay, fine.
And then, all the girls went back to the hotel and between the shows.
It was a long drive too.
It took an hour to go to and from. We had like 3 hours between the shows. And I was just like, what is wrong with them? But it took like a couple days. We were all super jet lagged as well.
Well, like, it's like burnout is real. We were, this was like going on now days and days. Also, I'm just looking at this calendar again. We did 5 show days in London and each of them was 2 shows.
Yeah. It was all double ups.
It's and from like, Saturday to Thursday. There were 10 shows in less than a week, 10 shows.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's crazy. So,
but by like, the time we got to London, like we had had that horrible, horrible bus ride from Manchester to London, which by the way was on like country roads in the pitch dark, like,
and that toilet smelled like a toilet.
Yeah. And people went to such a dark place. Like I was like writing in a journal on that bus and I was like, I will never work with these people again, even if I get the opportunity to blah, blah. Like I hate you all. And here
I hated myself. Truly.
I loved everyone.
I mean, I remember like looking back, it was like, we had so much fun. We traveled, we got to see like on the day to day, I think I had more fun, but in retrospect, the whole thing, I have like very specific feelings about it all because like, obviously we were exhausted. So I think when we got to London, the girls had all like, you know, it's like, it's magnetic too. And if one girl is down in the dressing room, everybody starts to feel it. And everyone like starts to unfold. And then I think like I saw Heather start to cry and then like everybody started to cry and we were all like, we just want to go home. And there was senioritis too, because we were so close to the end. We had been, you know, we had burned out, but we also like,
well, and we had been working since July.
You remember at one point, a full year. In between shows at the O2, obviously because there were 5 days of straight shows in between, we would rest and we would hang out at the venue.
So I remember in London, we had the first few days off. So we had just come from New York where we filmed the Glee Live 3D movie, which was like a 2-day process, which included a special guest appearance by Holly Holiday, a.k.a. Gwyneth Paltrow. And this was like back in the day when like you needed data plans and things that weren't internet, like before, like I had an international data plan. And so I was like, well, I'm not taking my phone with me on this day out in London. So I got back to the hotel. I hadn't had my phone. I log into my email. And then I get this like email from Gwyneth's assistant that's like, Gwyneth's trying to get a hold of you. Where are you? And I was like, what? And then I like scrolled it out and there's an email from her that's like, what's up? Heard you guys are in London. Like, what are you doing? Want to come over for lunch? And then she's like, and then I'm like, what? And then I'm like, okay. And then we're corresponding by email. And then I'm like, sure, like when? And she's like, oh, and by the way, like, if you want me to just throw down as Holly Holiday tonight, I'm down. And then I'm like, what? And so it's like, she's just like, I'll do the show tonight too. So it's like, okay.
I didn't know that wasn't planned.
Oh, no, not at all. So she like, and then at this point, kind of like what we were saying earlier, like there was less adult supervision. So it's like by London, I don't think we had any of the producers there. So it's like, I was like, I guess I'll talk to the producers about putting her in the show. And then I was like, I guess I don't need to, like, cause they're on a different time zone. So literally that night she rolls up with Apple and 3 of her friends. So there's, and they're all like 7. So it's like these 7-year-old girls dressed in these like amazing princess dresses came down. She rolled up, not a rehearsal, not a nothing. She dressed herself, zero makeup. She came out. She wanted to watch the first half of the show in the audience. She's like, what am I going to do? And someone just, like, handed her some merch. Like, so she had a hooded sweatshirt on. So it's, like, out in the audience. Like, when it's all through the hood for the first half of the show. Then she comes out, rocks it. It was just so funny because it was like, what is happening? Like, she's just turning up now at the O2.
I loved it.
Add a new set.
A real pro.
It was really fun. It was really pro. She was so game. But also, it's like, and also a friendly reminder that, like, we're doing a live show. It's going to change when a cast member gets stuck in Canada or someone starts throwing up.
Wait, now jog my memory. Did Diana make it for the show?
No. So.
She stayed for, like, because she had to get an expedited passport because we could get in. But they wouldn't let her back in America without a passport.
Not even a Glee cast member.
So we ended up...
I think she
missed the next show. She missed the Cleveland show, and she missed her birthday, Kevin.
She missed Detroit. She missed the Detroit show.
But then she
missed
also,
the Detroit show and the Cleveland show.
She also missed a London show because she was sick. And I had to stay behind at the hotel.
Oh, which is...
Right.
Which is also...
And I missed fucking Stevie Nicks.
No.
Oh, wait. Didn't you guys go to Fleetwood Mac? Where did you go? No. Beyonce. You guys went to Beyonce.
Oh, we went to that Beyonce show.
Oh, my God.
And that's when Gwyneth introduced us to Jay-Z.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, this is Jay.
I never thought I'd be like, oh, Jay, you know, and this is Telly. It's like, I was like, you don't need to remember that, sir.
Oh, it was wild. Adele was there.
Fun.
I remember my mom meeting Gwyneth and... Jay-Z. I'm like, what world is this?
I know.
Shouldn't we talk about little baby Tallulah, our tour baby?
Oh, Tallulah.
Who's no longer a tour baby at all.
I'm sure she's a tour teen now.
Oh my God. No, it was actually fun because there was a baby on tour. And not that any of us were at baby fever yet, but like, she was the cutest. And Ginger was our bassist. And Chris Pooley, who is her husband, was our musical director, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And the keys.
And they were obviously married with, like, how old was Tula? Like 10 months, maybe?
Yeah, she was a baby.
Super
and
little.
They brought her on tour. So, like, we'd always have her, like, you know, backstage when we were, like, eating dinner. We'd hang out with Tula. She was the
chillest baby.
So sweet.
And she, I think, like, having a baby on tour kind of brought some levity to a very absurd situation.
Totally.
Yeah.
And then we hit the end of tour. We hit Ireland for a weekend.
I feel like that's, like, really when everybody just let it kind of go.
Yeah. Have the best time.
Relaxed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We
this
got
was also when, like, there was definitely the wheels had kind of come off in terms of, like, not the wheels came off, but it was just, like, we didn't have, like, we definitely didn't have anyone. It was Kids House.
It was like finals week.
And it was like, because I remember asking, so I got permission from Zach Woodley and Mike Riccio to sneak myself into the safety dance. So I surprised Kevin, I think it was like halfway through the tour. But Zach was like, you learn every step, you get approval from Mike and you can go. So I did it and it was great. And I got better and better. And I like slowly started entering earlier and earlier to the point where I was like literally the third person on stage. Anyway, but I also wanted to come on stage during like, there was this great middle section where it was like supposed to be the choir room. And it was like all the fun duets happened. And like everyone was running around and jumping around during Riverdy Mountain High. And it was just like fun, fun, fun for like 20 minutes on stage. And I was like, I really want to go do that. Like, I was like, Zach, can I also sneak on stage for that? And then he was like, thought about it really long. And he goes, in Dublin. It was like, so in Dublin became kind of like this thing where it was like, oh, I'm thinking of doing this fun thing, but I don't know if I should do it. It's like,
do it in Dublin.
So it's like Dublin kind of became like the playground.
Telly, did you come on stage during the choir room?
I definitely did.
Yeah. Did you come in and dance with us on River Deep?
There's a video that Hannah has, or a picture that Hannah has of us like doing like a shimmy, like we're shimmying back and forth to each other. And so it's like, but it's like a beautiful thing. Yes. And then that was also when it wasn't just me, a memo got put out to everyone in the crew that we were all going to do safety dance. So the safety dance in Dublin doubled, maybe tripled in size because everybody learned the part. So it's like, it wasn't just the dancers and who were doing it. We rebroke the whole, like we restaged the whole thing. So all those people would go downstage so that like 50 or so of the other crew came on and danced. So that one, And everyone was in like wild outfits and it was like no holds barred, super fun. There are pictures of that. I think Diana took pictures of that, but they were like,
oh my God,
insane. Amazing. Just like a cacophony of like joy and wonder.
So two nights ago, I was looking up some of the like live videos from this tour, and there is a full video of Safety Dance from somebody in the audience. And because like normally on a tour, the last show, people do different things. Like this, sort of like a, I don't know, a finale. Thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so for Safety Dance, you see everybody, Telly's out there in costumes. People are shirtless. Some of the mm-hmm. dancers are wearing like part of their costumes from other numbers in the show. And it's
yeah,
just,
there were lots of like, I'm going to put this on my head.
Yeah. I had an Ireland flag that day. I had my parents, I was like, go out and find me an Irish flag. And I was like, I hope this isn't disrespectful, but it was my first time in Ireland being Irish, of Irish descent. I was very excited. I had that like a cape around my neck.
Mm-hmm.
And it is, that video is so much fun. And you can like feel how loud the audience was and see us. I watched also the entire encore. Like you see us doing Somebody to Love. And aww. Then after we finish it, people are crying. People are collapsing on stage. And we all get out there and are like taking our final bow and thanking everybody. It was such, Dublin was such a cool thing. And I do want to add like in London, right before Dublin, one of the last shows, I think it was like either, I think Naya was sick and she didn't make the show. And so we needed to fill space. And so Amber had to do River Deep.
By herself.
By herself.
Yeah.
And then we added in True Colors. And I have a picture of Jenna standing in an empty O2 sound checking True Colors for the first time. And I was like, this is because we all wanted her to do it since the beginning.
Yeah.
And then we added it in for the rest of the shows in London. And then it carried over into Dublin. And it was just like the coolest thing that because it was sort of like kids' house and we're improvising as we went, but like also everybody's professional. Like we added in this number and it made the show that much better. Mm-hmm. And then to like get to celebrate it all again in Dublin and also a different size venue. It was a fraction of the size of the other venues. And like people technically weren't allowed to stand, but we were like, we're not having that. Everybody get up.
Kevin, did we throw our vests into the audience in Ireland?
Oh, I think everybody did.
Didn't we sign
like
our white vests
I think
and
you're
then
right, yeah.
throw them into the audience?
Yeah.
It was a matinee. We were like, we're just going to throw them. That's it.
Yeah,
and
so
we signed the back of them.
Vests.
Yeah,
it's like graduation.
Oh, that's also where my dad was in the audience and he's never been to Ireland. It's been like our family's dream to bring him to Ireland. And during the encore where I had that time to kill, I was like, I'm going to break character. And I said, I'm like, my dad's in the audience, super Irish. I need everybody to help me with this. And I start singing "Oh Danny Boy."
Uh-huh.
And
that's right.
I have goosebumps now. And the entire crowd sang "Oh Danny Boy" like back to me. And I'm sitting on stage, like conducting it. And it was like the most special, also the whole show for everybody, crew, us on stage, like it was like electric because, you know, it's ending. It's like you already took finals and like, you know, you're getting out. And it's like everybody was just amped up and it was, I don't know, it was electric. I sang Safety Dance an octave up. Like, I don't know what was happening.
Kevin.
Also, when we got to Dublin, we had the most magical day. I don't remember. It was a small group of us.
It was Telly, you, me, Theo, and Leah, and Clinton, and Todd.
And Cord. Didn't Cord come with us?
I don't think so. We went to that pub where you could buy the Guinness at the pint at the
table. Well, we went to a bunch. We did. It was like daytime, and we did like a bar crawl.
We did bar crawl. And then we went to that Italian restaurant where we all put on Kevin's glasses. I have photos of all of us try on Kevin's glasses. And we made Todd and Clinton choose our wine for us at the other table.
Because Todd is also a sommelier.
No big deal.
Yeah.
No big deal.
That was like, it was after the sort of rough start of the UK. And then by the end of London, like everybody was back and on it and then getting to Dublin and having like really beautiful day there where we like watched, I think was the, we were watching some sporting event on TV and like going around, like it was just so nice. And then we had a weekend of like incredible shows.
Do you guys remember Dublin when we found that at this point in the tour, we had learned that we really had to find places that would kind of shut down for us. Otherwise we couldn't go there. It just wasn't fun. Yeah. And like, it got a little too crazy and unsafe, but the schoolhouse bar,
oh my God. that we found after every show.
I went back there a couple years ago with Thomas. It has a hotel attached to it.
Yeah, at least a little inn or something.
Yeah. That's where we stayed. But yes, that was amazing.
I just had this one memory of the second tour. And I can't remember where it was, but I can probably find out. But so usually coming off stage at the end of the show would be like, everyone was like, huh, okay. A lot of times it'd be like, well, we always have to like get on the bus, go back to the hotel or go back to the plane, whatever it was. So it was always like, show's over, wrap it up, let's go. But I'll never forget this one show. And in the teacher's lounge, the like live stream from Glastonbury was on, and Beyonce was performing in Glastonbury.
It was in the O2.
And we came out, and it was on, and literally, all of us, every single person was like, stared at the TV, sat down, poured themselves a drink, just rested.
We just ate Nando's. And
we watched Beyonce, and nobody rushed out of there, and everybody was like put in a great, beautiful mood. And it was like just a little shout out to Beyonce, the great unifier out there.
Coldplay was there too, right?
I believe so.
That was so nice.
But it was like, usually it was like, get us out of here as fast as possible. It was like, no, not today. Beyonce's on screen. We will give her time.
Mm-hmm.
As you get older, I find that you like the shorter the thing, the bigger the memory is in your life. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it's like now when I look back on the last 10 or 15 years, I'm like, it's the like 3-day vacations. It's the 6 weeks on tour. It's the like,
totally,
the one night out. That's like, that sticks out in my memory more than like the 3 long, long years on set or whatever it is, you know?
It's just like, I mean, speed living. Like you...
Totally.
It was like we lived an entire year or half a year in 6 weeks. And because everything was happening for the first time, like I think it sticks with you that much more. We were freaking out before going in a tour of like, how are we, like stamina-wise, is going to make this? Mm-hmm. And like we did it. And the shows were so much fun and so good that like outweighed all of the sort of crazy antics about it outside of it.
Totally. I mean,
it was certainly a moment in time, and it's something that none of us will probably ever experience again. So
I interacted with fans so much more, I felt like, on this tour because we had sort of been through it once on a smaller scale the year before. After the show, people would like line up where our cars are. And so like a lot of the time we would go out and be able to like spend some time
with them.
Because like it was our plane. And so like it would take off once we got there.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was like, we all appreciated like these kids made crazy shirts and signs and
dolls like, and magazines.
Belly, I have like, what city was it that you had that like car, like cart, and you were like, let's go see the cart, get in the cart, Jenna. And we got in the cart and all the fans are like at the edge, maybe Chicago.
I can't remember where it was, but it was like the backstage was like a ramp up.
Oh, Chicago.
And like closed up a whole area,
and we like,
and there were these girls, because there were these girls, and I wish I could remember the handle right now, but they were like my biggest fans, which I just still to this day think is amazing and hilarious, and I'm very grateful for it. But they were like, we've made everyone a shirt. And they had like made a shirt for every cast member and me. And it was like with a funny thing their character had been called on the show or like a thing. So it was like in the style of the Born This Way shirts, but a little more individual. Yes. And mine said Snicker Puller.
Yes. And everybody wore them.
I have a picture of me and Kevin at the schoolhouse, and I was in my Snicker Puller shirt. But I was like, we got to go get these shirts. Like, let's go get these shirts. And you were like, yeah, let's go. I think Amber came with us too. And we like drove up, did a loop. They like threw the shirts at us and we just like scooted back down.
My favorite fan story was we went up to the gates and they were like pushing the gates down. We were like, you guys relax. Like, you know, we're here. We're just hanging. And they were pushing their programs through the little gate holes to get us in. And I'm like, it's not going to fit, babe. So it goes, she tries to get it through and I'm like trying to sign it. And she's like, Tina, please sign this. And the girl next to her goes, don't call her that. Her name is Jenna.
Oh my God. That's adorable.
And I was like, that just warmed my heart.
I just remember we always had to wait for those, like we were always waiting on Darren and Corey to finish signing autographs. Like, because the plane couldn't leave without them, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I mean, then both of them were always having their own like meet and greets in the lobbies of our hotels.
Yeah. We'd be like, where are they? Like, oh, Corey's bathing.
Yeah.
Bathing in adoration.
Adoration. He loved it.
I think we did it, you guys.
I think so, too.
What a memory.
I would do it all over again, by the way.
I want to go on tour so badly.
A million percent.
Tomorrow, I'd be sick.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be there.
I think we could, you give us 5 days to put up the show, we could do it.
Oh, yeah.
Done. It's already done.
You might need to have, like, some inhalers on the side of the
stage. Oh, absolutely.
Round paper bags.
Yeah, and a ventilator in the quarantine room.
Yeah.
Ooh, that has a whole new meaning now.
Yeah, COVID jokes.
That's why I said it.
But
that's how fun tour.
Glee.
Woo.
Tour episode.
I mean, we did it. Those are both the tours. There's no more touring.
Kevin, I just hear the love for the tours in your voice when you
talk
about them.
I'm sorry I talk so much.
No,
Telly and I could just talk for 18 hours about it.
You could. Your memories probably are better or different than mine and Megan's.
Yes. I apologize if I talked over you. I'm sure I did. I just got really excited and couldn't control myself.
Nope. It's good. Your memory was spectacular. Okay. Well, that's it for our little special episodes of the tour, but we're doing it, right? We're just going to jump right in next week.
Next week is the season 2 premiere.
Woo-hoo! A season 2 recap. Starting with Audition. So go watch Audition. Let's get into season 2, y'all.
Oh, yeah. Jog your memory. It's a wild one.
Hey, see you next week.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Showman's Glee Recap Edition.
Get new episodes every Thursday on Spotify, PodcastOne.com, and Apple Podcasts.
Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jenna Ushkowitz.
Follow me on Instagram at Kevin McHale and on Twitter at Druidude.
Subscribe to the show.
Leave a nice rating.
And a 5-star review.
And spread the word.
See you next week.
Bye.